The words of our text you may find in Hebrews 11, verse 31. Hebrews 11, verse 31. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. That story, beloved, that is found in Joshua 1, is a wonderful story from every point of view. You could really write a nice book about that story, how the spies came to Jericho and how they were evidently invited by the harlot Rahab to enter into her home and to stay there, how the king's messengers reported that fact to the king, and how the king sent men to Rahab in order to demand the men that had entered into her house, and how Rahab told a story that the men had left as soon as it was dark, and that they had fled, and that the king's messengers could easily overtake them if they hurried. That she, however, had hid the spies that were sent by Joshua on the roof, covered by stalks of corn and flax, and how afterward, after the men, the king's messengers had left, she talked to the men and told them all about the fear of Canaan and of Jericho concerning the Israelites and the Israelites' army, how she had taken an oath of the man that they would save her and her whole house and family if the Israelites would take Jericho, and how the men promised that they would do so, that they would save her, provided that she would let the scarlet cord by which they had been let down the wall from her window, in order that they might know that she was there. And all these things make a wonderful story. Yet, beloved, that is not the gospel. We must not have a wonderful story of the Bible. The Bible is not interested in beautiful stories. The Bible is not interested from beginning to end. From Genesis to Revelation, and the most remarkable and wonderful stories that can possibly be told. The Bible is from cover to cover interested only in the gospel and nothing else. The gospel. From Genesis to Revelation, the Bible reveals the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ. Nothing else. Oh, it is true that different books and different parts of Scripture reveal that gospel of Jesus Christ from various aspects, from various points of view. It is as well also as you read the Bible at home and as you study Scripture in your societies, that you bear that in mind. It's always the gospel. But it's always the gospel from different aspects. So it is here, beloved, that the history that is recorded to us in Joshua 2 is the gospel, is plainly interpreted as such in the text that is the subject of my sermon this morning. For the text is introduced by the well-known phrase from Hebrews 11, by faith, Rahab perished not with them that believe not. After she received the spies with peace. That's the gospel. It means, beloved, that in all that land of Canaan and in the city of Jericho, particularly, there was one elect among the wicked, among the reprobate Canaanites. There was one elect, no other. It means that, as we shall see, the city of Jericho and the land of Canaan became ripe for judgment. That they filled the measure of iniquity. That there was one even in that land. And in that city, the land of the city that was approaching the end, the end of all things, there was one of God's people still and that she was plucked as a brand out of the fire. It means, beloved, too, that brand that was plucked out of the fire by God's grace through faith separated herself and had already separated herself for some time from the wickedness of the world and joined the people of God. That's the gospel. The gospel, beloved, which we must hear. The gospel that is always the same, which we must hear even in this present time. Even in the midst of the present world that is approaching the end, we must believe, beloved, that God saves his people no matter what. That he will save them unto the uttermost. And we must believe that we too must separate by faith from the world of iniquity and belong to the people of God. From that point of view, I want to address you a few moments more on this faith of Rahab. Rahab the harlot. Believing, acting, escaping. Believing, acting, escaping. Rahab, historically, was a Canaanite, as you know, a Canaanitess. She was probably more particularly an Amorite or an Amoritess. And she therefore did not belong to the church, was definitely outside. The church in those days was limited. The kingdom of God was limited to the nation of Israel. And to that nation of Israel, Rahab did not belong. She was an outsider. Moreover, we read that she was an harlot. The rabbis, some rabbis, interpret this being a harlot of Rahab's as meaning that she was an innkeeper, not a bad woman, but an innkeeper. They do this probably in the first place to justify the spies and not to give them a bad name. They think it would be pretty bad if those spies had searched out the house of an harlot, particularly to stay while they were in Jericho. And probably also to justify Rahab. For Rahab, as you know, not only became one that belonged to the gallery of faith, though the heroes and witnesses of faith, but she also became one of the mothers of Jesus. Rahab was not only incorporated in Israel, but Rahab married a certain Salmon, and Salmon was the father of Boaz and of David and ultimately of Christ. So Rahab also finally received the honor of becoming one of the mothers of Christ. And I do not believe that the rabbis are so much interested in that phase of the matter. But nevertheless, the fact that Rahab too was in the line of the holy generations that at least is to bring forth Christ probably was also an excuse for them to find the pretext that Rahab was an innkeeper and not a harlot in the common sense of the word. That, of course, is not true. Rahab was a harlot, beloved. And we like to emphasize that. Rahab was an inhabitant of Jericho, and she was a harlot in Jericho. She was a bad woman. She was, as we read in the New Testament, a sinner in the city. She was a public woman. A woman that sold her womanly honor to men for gain, for money. And therefore, she was a woman that had sunk very deeply into the mire of sin. It's well, beloved, and not only to remember this, but also to emphasize this. All Scripture teaches us very plainly that sinners, that Pharisees and Sadducees and the like, that good moral men, clean men, from a moral point of view, enter into the kingdom of heaven. Do not enter into the kingdom of heaven, but that sinners do. Sinners go before those self-righteous and moral men. That was also the case here. God had elected Rahab, as is evident from the whole story. She was elected. Not only that, but already at this time, as we shall see later, God had wrought in her heart the faith that is principally the faith in Christ that was hers. God had wrought into the heart of Rahab His saving grace, without any doubt, already at this time, before the spies came, beloved, as we hope to see. Rahab, however, lived in Jericho. And Jericho, we might call in the first place the key city of the land of Canaan. The city that must be taken by the Israelites, first of all, if they ever were going to conquer the land, Jericho. And Jericho was a strong fortress. Surely the spies, when they come back from Rahab, certainly did not report where there was a weak spot in the town or in the wall of the town. For that would have been impossible. They reported only that the fear of Israel, and that is therefore the fear of God, was struck into the hearts of the Canaanites. That was sufficient for them. It meant, beloved, it meant that the Lord had already given unto Israel the land of Canaan before they ever entered. That was the report of the spies, and that was evidently the purpose why Joshua had sent the spies to the land of Canaan. That was also God's purpose. The purpose of God in sending the spies to the land of Canaan through Joshua was twofold. First of all, it was, as I said, that they might report and thus encourage Israel that the fear of God had been struck into the heart of the Canaanites, and that therefore the Lord had already given the land into their hands. The Lord gave the people of Israel the land of Canaan. They did not conquer it. And secondly, the purpose of God was also, and that was probably one of the chief purposes, that the spies might come to the house of Rahab, and that thus Rahab might be plucked out of the fire. At any rate, Rahab lived in Jericho. She lived on the wall. Walls in those days, as you know, probably were very heavy. The walls of Babylon were so heavy that 6 teams of horses could run alongside of one another on the wall itself. That may not have been the case with the city of Jericho, but nevertheless, that the house of Rahab was situated on the wall undoubtedly means that the wall was heavy. And the city was straitly shut up. The people of Jericho did not mean to surrender. God wanted to take the city of Jericho. God wanted to give the city of Jericho to Israel. And that must become plain. We read, beloved, that, of course it was true, that it was a time of destruction and judgment for the Canaanites, as it was indeed. And that meant, we must understand that too, that at that time already, the Canaanites had filled the measure of iniquity. That's always the case. Before final judgment comes, beloved, The measure of iniquity must always be filled. Always. Not only that, but listen, this is also true. Simultaneously with the filling of the measure of iniquity by the world, a part of the world, is the final and complete gathering of the people of God. That's always the case. That's the case at the time of Noah. The world had filled the measure of iniquity and was destroyed by God's judgment. Noah, the church, was gathered with his eight souls in the ark. The salvation of the church, and the church becoming heir of the world, is simultaneous with the destruction and judgment of the world. And that is the case with Lot in Sodom. Sodom had filled the measure of iniquity. And having filled the measure of iniquity, Sodom was ripe for judgment. And in the midst of Sodom was Lot. A Lot who witnessed as against the iniquity of the Sodomites. At the same time that the city was destroyed, Lot was saved out of Sodom and because of Sodom. That's also the case here. And that will be the case too, beloved, in the end. In the end. You know, we sometimes watch for the end. We sometimes hope for the end, do we not? I do. I like to see the end. I mean the end of all things. I do. But never forget that also in the end, the measure of iniquity must be completely filled. Just as it was in Jericho and in Canaan. And simultaneously, at the same time, with the filling up of the measure of iniquity, God shall take care through Christ that his people will be completely gathered in. That's always at the same time. The world cannot be destroyed until all the elect are gathered. And they will be gathered. And the world cannot be destroyed until the measure of iniquity is filled. That too. Remember that. That was the case in Jericho and in Canaan in general. I don't know whether I have time, but just briefly, what does it mean that the measure of iniquity is filled? What does that mean? It certainly does not mean, beloved, that at that time the people cannot sin anymore. That, of course, would be impossible. does not mean that at all. But it certainly means that organically considered, the whole human race, as far as the end is concerned now, not as far as Jericho is concerned, but the end, organically considered, all the nations together, and particularly the nations that live at the center of the world, have revealed all possible iniquity that they can reveal. That first of all. They may sin, but they commit the same sin all the time, finally, and then the Lord cuts it off. The measure of iniquity filled means that the nations and the individuals among the nations have revealed all the sin that is in their nature. That's one thing, that God may be justified. The second place, and that of course stands immediately connected with it, the second place it means that human race that lies in sin uses every possible means in the service of sin. We see that now. And at the end it must mean that there are no more means, no more new means in the creation, in the earthly creation, that the service of sin can subject. We see a little of it. The atom, the split atom, the atom bomb, the hydrogen bomb, all kinds of instruments, beloved, that could be used for the good are used in the service of sin and into corruption and destruction. In the end, that will be complete. The measure of iniquity shall be filled. That was the case in Jericho. Of course, the world had not developed as it is today, that stands to reason. Nevertheless, according to their means at that time, and according to their nature at that time, they completely subjected themselves to the service of every sin. And then the end comes. Just as the end comes of all things, when the measure of iniquity is filled completely, both in relation to God and in relation to Christ, the Antichrist shall fill the measure of iniquity to the end, O beloved. And Gog and Magog shall serve him. In that city was Rahab. And Rahab believed. She believed. By faith, Rahab did not deliver the spies, but saved them. Or as we read here in Hebrews, by faith, Rahab the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not. The rest did not believe, beloved. They did not believe. You ask the question, was there any reason for them to believe? Oh, yes, there was. God always gave them plenty of reason to believe. always, beloved. God always testifies before he strikes down with judgment. Always does. Either in the witness of nature or in the witness of Scripture, of the Gospel. And these had the witness of the Gospel. That's what they did. Oh, yes. According to what Rahab says, at least, to the spies, it's very plain that they knew. They knew God. They knew Jehovah. They knew Israel, and they knew that Israel was the people of God. Listen. I know, says Rahab, that the Lord hath given you the land. That was the language of faith of God. Rahab believed that. I know. I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. Why? Why are they so afraid of Israel? Because, for we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea. That was the gospel. That was the gospel for you when you came out of Egypt. And what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. They knew that. They knew that the Lord had given them land. They knew the promise of the Lord. They knew that the Lord had performed the wonder of drying up the Red Sea and of giving the enemies into their hands. They knew that. Oh, they knew the gospel, sure, but they didn't want it. And therefore we read in the text that Rahab perished not with them that believed not. They didn't believe. Rahab believed. And as I said before, beloved, she believed before the spies came, undoubtedly. She heard all this long before the spies came. She wasn't a harlot anymore. I think just as she was known in the city as a harlot, so by this time she was known in the city as one that had broken with her harlotry. She must have been known as such, undoubtedly. She did not cease to be a harlot just at the time when the spies came. No, she had done that long time before. Sometime before, anyway. Because she believed in the Lord. That she had faith and that she had saving faith is very plain from what I read to you. All that Rahab says here, all that Rahab reports here to the spies is a testimony to the fact that she had the saving faith, what we know today as the faith in Christ, the faith in Joshua, and the faith through Joshua in Jehovah, the God of our salvation. That was the form of the faith of Rahab at this time. She believed. And that she believed, you understand, of course, was a gift of God. Rahab was regenerated. She lived. She was, and she was called, oh yes, she was called by the very gospel which I read to you a moment ago. She heard all about it, and she heard that gospel. She heard it. Sure. I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and so on and so forth. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man. because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in the earth beneath. That was the gospel. Your God, the God of the promise, the God that promised you the land of Canaan, he is God in heaven and on earth. And therefore, he says, now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, by Jehovah, since I have showed you kindness, that you will show kindness unto my father's house, and so on. She wants to be saved. She wants to be saved. And by that faith, beloved, the faith that was wrought in her heart by and consciously wrought in her heart through the gospel, by God, through the gospel, as she had heard it so far, by that faith she acted. Faith must not be inactive, beloved. Faith must not be inactive. Mustn't be. Inactive faith is no faith. And the faith of Rahab certainly was not inactive. In the first place, I really think that she knocked at the window at the time when the spies came to Jericho and called them in. How else could those spies come to the harlot's house? That's my idea. She wanted them. Rahab must have looked for Israel for some time already. She knew that the Lord had given them the land of Canaan. Of course. She knew that. That's what she said to the spies. And knowing that the Lord had given them the land of Canaan, she must have watched for them. She must have watched for them coming. And when two of them came, as she recognized, she probably knocked at the window or stood by the door and said, come in, please, I want to say something. That's the way they came. That's imagination on my part, but it's a good imagination, I think. Not bad. But sure it is, beloved, that text tells us that she received the spies with peace. That was quite an act. The king came and wanted the men. And Rahab lied. She lied, that's true enough, she lied. But I asked you, beloved, in the first place, Scripture never condemns that lie of Rahab, not a word of it. Not a word of it. Not in Joshua. And not in Hebrews, and not in James. You read in James 2 of Rahab. You say anything about the lie, it speaks of the lie, oh yes, in certain ways, but never condemns it. I won't condemn it either. I like that lie. Excuse me, I don't like a lie, but you know, beloved, some lies are much better than the truth. Don't you know? Don't you know? Speaking the truth is sometimes much more corrupt than speaking a lie. Don't you know? All depends. Before God, that's why the Bible never condemns this lie. Before God, it does not matter what you say, but what's in your heart. That's the question. You speak the truth, beloved, in hatred to your brother, and then you lie worse than the devil. You're a liar. You backbite your brother, you backbite your sister, and then you speak the truth, oh yes, you speak the truth, But that speaking of the truth is much worse than the worst lie. Don't forget that. In James, I think it's 2, verse 25, we read, likewise, also was Rahab, the harlot, not justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. That was the lie of Rahab. Rahab lied because she loved God. Oh, yes, she did. She lied because she loved the people of God. Oh, yes, she did. She lied because she wanted to save the kingdom of God. Oh, yes, she did. She lied because she wanted to save the people of God that were persecuted. Oh, yes. Maybe you're still self-righteous. All right, have it then. You can have it. I love that lie, beloved. I love the lie. I love the lie in this case better than the truth. I do. You probably, and many of my days said that too. Oh, well, she could have said, you search the house. Could she? She couldn't have said it. She could have trusted everything to the Lord and said, the Lord will bring it to pass. Could she? Was that a calling? I don't believe it. That was a calling. Oh, no. Just as the Lord deceived Ai when the people of Israel had to flee before the men of Ai. That was a lie too. But that was of the Lord. So Rahab deceived the messengers of the king, the messengers of the wicked king, the messengers of the devil. She deceived them to save the people of God. That's why the scriptures never condemn this, beloved. Well, at any rate, she lied for the Lord, for the spies, and she hid the spies. She sent the messengers the wrong way, put the scarlet cord below the window. She let the spies out, beloved. She saved the spies, and the spies go back to Joshua. In one word, beloved, that's all. She separated herself from wicked Jericho. And she joined herself to the people of God. That's what she did. That's what she did. That was the faith of Rahab. It was treachery. It was not very patriotic that Rahab, who was a citizeness of Jericho, hid the spies and saved them. But nevertheless, beloved, by faith that was correct. You do not always have to be patriotic. You cannot always be patriotic, beloved. Not when Antichrist comes pretty soon. You understand that? You must sometimes become very unpatriotic when Antichrist comes. You have to be. I said in my catechism class, you must pray for the government. Well, they didn't say that, but they asked me a question about that. All right, beloved, but I assure you, it's quite possible, perhaps, to do something here. I doubt that very much yet. I never will. But nevertheless, suppose we are in Russia, You think we must pray for the government then too? You think we must be patriotic and then too when you are in Russia and in Hungary and see the Russians destroy the Hungarian church? You think so? I don't. If that time comes, beloved, I'll openly protest from this pulpit if necessary. I will. Don't worry. I'll never be patriotic then. I won't. Because it's anti-Christian. That was also the case with Rahab. Rahab could not ally herself any longer with Jericho because Jericho was at that time antichrist. She separated herself and she espoused the cause of the people of God. That's what she did. Embraced the cause of Joshua. She lived by faith. Oh, that's beautiful, beloved. Of course. She was saved. We are saved too. If we live by faith, we're saved. Rahab was saved not only from Jericho. Rahab was saved unto eternal life. No question about it. Notice. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believe not. That means, beloved, that we're saved by them that believe. The people of Jericho did not believe. Rahab believed in the same sense in which they did not believe. The people of Jericho perished, not only because their city was destroyed. Oh no, they perished because the measure of iniquity was full and they went to hell. Rahab was saved in the same sense, beloved. She perished not with them that believed not. She was saved, oh yes, also as far as the national Israel was concerned. She lived, she lived. She didn't die right away, all right, but nevertheless, she also was saved forever in the eternal glory. And that was Rahab, saved by faith. And, beloved, I do not have to emphasize again, by that faith, Rahab clung to Christ. She didn't know him very well, not as clearly as we do, but she did nevertheless, spiritually, in a hut of huts, Rahab clung to Christ. Clinging to Christ, beloved, by the power of faith, she confessed her sin, which was great indeed. Oh yes. She was sorry for her sin, undoubtedly. The same faith is ours. The same faith as Rahab's is ours. Also by our saving faith, we cling to Christ, do we not? Also by our saving faith, we are sorry for our sin. I said, faith must be active. Well, to be sorry for our sin, beloved, is an act of faith. Faith must be active also in this respect, that clinging to Christ, we fight the good fight. That's what Rahab did. She fought the good fight, even unto the end. And that is our calling today. Fight the good fight. unto the very end, that no one take your crown. Amen. We thank thee, Lord, for thy mercies, for all thy truth and grace and loving kindness. Forgive our sins. Sanctify thy word unto us. Lead us by thy Spirit in the way eternal, that having fought the good fight, we may enter into thy everlasting house and everlasting kingdom in the day of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.